Now, when it comes to cold, not even the Antarctic can outcompete the right physics lab. And to explain why, Nigel Cooper's with us. He's from the Cavendish Laboratory in Cambridge, where he works on super cold stuff. So, Nigel, how cold can we go?
Okay, well, to think about that, first, it's helpful to understand what we mean by temperature. So temperature, to a physicist, is a measure of the thermal energy in a material due to all of the random jostling of its components. So if we have a gas of atoms in a box, that is largely carried by the kinetic energy, the motion and velocity of the particles. And so as we cool it down, that kinetic energy is removed and the atoms move slower and slower. And what we understand from the laws of thermodynamics is that there's a limit where, at least in principle, where we can remove all of this thermal energy and the system has just reached its lowest energy state. And this is a state that we refer to as absolute zero.
Well, I was going to say, if I took based on your analogy and you're pointing out that particles are moving around jostling, and when I stick a thermometer in a cup of tea, the hot water molecules are hitting the molecules in the thermometer and giving them energy, which is why the thermometer registers the temperature. So if I took my thermometer out of my tea and took it into space, because there's no molecules to hit it, what would it say then?
Well, it's actually out in space that there is still some energy around, which is the microwave background radiation left over from the Big Bang, which after the expansion of the universe has cooled down to about 2 degrees above absolute zero. So we understand that there will be radiation hitting the thermometer, and that radiation will give it a temperature of 2 degrees. Now, whether your thermometer actually registers 2 degrees above absolute zero is another question, but in principle, there is some temperature there.
And how do we know that there is this theoretical minimum which coincides with what we're calling absolute zero? And what value of temperature is that?
We know about the existence of this limit through the consistency of the laws of thermodynamics, the many tests that have been done, and the temperature itself has been established to be minus 273 degrees Celsius. So that's extraordinarily cold, of course, and this is why, from the perspective of a physicist, we typically want to work with an absolute temperature scale where we start with zero, at this absolute zero, and then count upwards. So the freezing point of water, 0 degrees in the Celsius scale, is plus 270 degrees of Kelvin, this absolute temperature scale, and room temperature is about 300 Kelvin. So outer space is about 100 times colder than room temperature. But from the low temperature physics that can be done now, there are different techniques that you can use to cool down to much lower temperatures. So if you take a fridge that's working off liquid helium, then you can reduce the temperature to about 1,000th of a degree above absolute zero. So that's 1,000 times colder than outer space. Or if you are willing to work with dilute atomic gases, then the techniques that have been developed over the last 20 or 30 years allow you to cool that system down to about 1 billionth of a degree above absolute zero.
Why not absolute zero itself? Is there no way of getting all the energy out? Why can't we actually get there?
There is a theorem established from thermodynamics in the 19th century by Kelvin and others who worked on it then, that if you have a refrigerator, there's an efficiency of the refrigerator, which depends on the ratio of the two temperatures on this absolute temperature scale. And in fact, that efficiency tells you how much heat can you pump out by a certain amount of work that you perform on the refrigerating cycle. And that efficiency goes to zero as the cold side of the fridge goes to zero. So as you try to get close but never get there. You never quite get there.
When you get very, very close, do you begin to get some insights into what might happen were you to get there? Do things behave in a bizarre way? Because I would be thinking that if you've got particles, and we know that everything's made of atoms, they say never believe an atom because it makes up everything. But if you get to absolute zero, would everything just stop moving then?
Well, no, the laws of quantum mechanics kick in, and in fact, they kicked in at a much higher temperature. So some of these, depending on the gas or the system that you're looking at, as you cool it down and the particles move more and more slowly, then we understand from quantum mechanics that the wave-like nature of that particle starts to become more important. The wavelength of a particle increases as you make it more slow. And so there's a point that one reaches for a gas at a certain density at which the quantum wavelength of each individual atom stretches across to its neighbor. And then there's a completely new form of behavior that comes in where the gas behaves in a way that's completely unrelated to what we're familiar with at room temperature, and you get a certain collective quantum phenomena appearing, such as superconductivity or Bose-Einstein condensation, certain collective phenomena that appear that are completely unfamiliar at room temperature.
Could one think of it as though everything sort of locks together then, and you get everything behaving as one? So instead of it just being one atom that bumps into another atom here and there, you end up with everything behaving as one at the same time because those wavelengths are all locked together?
That's right. So depending on the particular phase. So in a Bose-Einstein condensate, you can think there of a situation where all of the atoms are behaving in an identical manner. In other situations where there are stronger interactions, you have everything locks together, but it can form some sort of collective fluid where the particles are dancing around each other in some very complex way. They can't quite come to rest because quantum mechanics prevents them from actually stopping completely, but the collective zero temperature state that you would have is some many particle collective state, which shows interesting long distance behavior.
But Nigel, why should I care? Why does this matter, this incredibly low temperature?
The systems that are being developed have the potential to have some very dramatic applications. So at present, they're being developed in a number of different directions. One of them is to form ultra-powerful quantum computers, which exploit the laws of quantum mechanics, potentially to solve problems that classical computers could never solve. There's also potential to use sensors formed from atomic clocks and other quantum devices to make extremely sensitive detectors. For example, there's a proposal to use such things to map out the gravitational potential of the Earth, working out, therefore, what is the mass distribution underneath the Earth without having to dig in to see what's there. And there are also potential applications in using these very sensitive sensors to detect particles that are predicted in high-energy physics, to look for dark matter, and to test other fundamental aspects of high-energy physics.
Nigel, thank you very much for introducing us to your world and the science of the supercold. That's Nigel Cooper. He is from the Cavendish Laboratory at the University of Cambridge.